quite a while. And we still have a very good time together. Cheap Trick, if you want my love, is Hit This Around the Nation on Brisbane, Adelaide, Melbourne and Sydney. Good morning, everybody. It's myself, Tony Martin. Gavely's here. And, of course, Richard Marsden. Are we in the loony bin this morning?
Oh, yeah.
It's not the loony bin.
We know right here.
How are we all today?
Great.
Is everyone feeling good?
Yeah, great. Right. Thanks, mate.
It is time for some medical news. Sorry, people driving in cars.
Another plop at the end, Rich.
That's strange.
Is there anything that you won't end with a plop?
The defibrillators have an effect, different effects for different people.
What's your favourite sound effect at the moment?
I think it's actually illegal to run a siren sound on the radio, isn't it? Because people driving in cars.
Right, of course.
We apologise if you've just driven through the front of a house. Although, obviously, send us the details and you'll make the list. We'll be happy to talk about it.
Okay.
How are you?
Are you okay?
I am fine. That's the good news. I'm fine. Right. I've had that terrible week of waiting for medical results.
What did you think you had?
Well, the embarrassing part is it's the downstairs department.
Oh, no.
It's the old... It's fine.
Penis extension?
Didn't take.
Getting a whalebone put in there?
It was the old... testicular you-know-what.
Oh, no.
Like a twisted epididymis?
No, it's fine. But I'm sitting there thinking, firstly, I'm going, I might die. And within 2 seconds, I'm thinking, oh, I'm the guy that did all my plums.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, how's this going to read? Yeah.
That'll be the headline.
Great.
That would be the headline.
All my plums. And then I got thinking, and this is before I knew that everything was going to be fine, I got thinking, if it is bad, the silver lining is, that'll be my press release.
Yeah.
It'll just be simply the phrase, all my plums.
Right.
Is it now more of an all me plum situation?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
Good.
You should check though, Rich. Imagine that. Imagine if it was that and I had to redo all those sketches to be all me plum.
No.
We could give the other one away.
But wouldn't it?
See, down in promotions.
Yep. So wait a second. Did you guys hear that? Quickly, into the inside tank.
It's one up Wednesday.
Yeah. Plum based contests.
That's something the boys upstairs haven't done.
It's true.
But don't you think that'd be good to just put that out as the press release? So it'd be like really serious. It was revealed today that broadcaster Tony Martin is suffering from you know what.
Mm-hmm.
In a statement released by Triple M, Martin said only, all me plums.
That'd be great.
But everything's fine. But the worst part is, and guys, you know what I'm talking about here, you've got to do the old self-examination.
I've never had to do this.
Oh. What is it? Well, you're in the age group. You should be doing it.
Oh, I'm in the age group. How do I do it?
Well, it's fairly self-explanatory. Do you need a diagram?
Well, what am I looking for?
You can walk through.
Oh, no, I've got my doctor going, you know, Tony, you've got to check your testicles. I'm going, check them. In this weather, I'll be lucky to find them. Freezing outside. The landing gear is up. Anyway, you've got to do it. And then the worst part is, you've got to go to the hospital and have the Gawley ultrasound. And that's not an awkward procedure.
Hmm. What do you do?
Meeting the bloke will do it. I'm Dave, I'll be handling your ball.
Hi, Dave.
That's not uncomfortable.
And it takes like 20 minutes.
I'm not boasting, that's the standard time.
No. Or is that just speech so you and Dave can have a drink together? Just come to know each other so we can both feel comfortable.
They tackle the acreage.
The acreage. 20 minutes, you're just sitting there while he's mapping the surface.
What, with a pen?
No, with something that goes, I didn't look, but it's making this noise.
The scanner.
There's a fair bit of that. And luckily, he didn't know who I was. Because I don't know if you remember last year, I had to have the old camera up the arse.
Yeah.
And just as I'm going under an anesthetic, one of the nurses leans forward, just as I'm about to black out, and goes, thank God you're here. Could not resist it. Could not resist it. This guy, he had no idea who I was, so that was good. And he was an older bloke, so and he's obviously handled a lot of this
nice hands.
Kind of gear.
Yeah.
What's the protocol? Do you leave him a tip? Something extra special for the effort?
Well, the worst thing is what you talk about. Well, it's going on for 20 minutes, and then I'm going, this is why I need to know about sport.
It's true.
This is the time to bust out the sports deal.
Perfect opportunity.
So, what about those demons?
Oh, yeah, well, they're
Yeah, he was, in fact, the whole time talking about how he was thinking of buying a plasma TV. His grandchildren were telling him to buy a plasma TV. What do you think? And I'm going, well, is this for work or for home? What do you need? Oh, yeah, you just need to see. He's looking at NADs all day. I've got to see them in widescreen.
The NADs, mate.
Stop taking advantage of the
clarity. It's like you're there. It's like they're in the room with you.
Yeah. And then the worst part is, all of a sudden, he's just chatting away about, oh, yeah, they've got the... Oh, hang on a sec. And that's the moment you don't want to hear.
Yeah, no.
He goes, oh, sorry, screen's frozen.
Right.
False alarm. But everything's fine.
What you have to do, take it to the car park. They've got a big outdoor screen.
I think they do. In summer, they have the moonlight cinema.
Oh.
Yeah, moonlight plum exams.
Pretty plum exams.
That's
and the moonlight cinema.
That's a good idea. Monday, Ferris Bueller's day off. Tuesday, it's old rat face from Kerry Ann's plums on the big screen.
Celebrity.
Wednesday, breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's fantastic.
But, no, everything's fine. I will be walking funny for a few days, and I've abandoned the book I was thinking of writing.
Plum out of luck. That's what I thought would be the title.
But, no, that's been pulped. See what I didn't do? And my wife came up with this. This is a great idea, the colonoscopy walk.
Right.
If you're going in for a colonoscopy... You have it done, and then it's a bit embarrassing, but you'll laugh about it later. You walk out through the waiting room, like with the legs apart, going, oh, see, that bloke goes in hard.
It's a big cat.
I'm a longshoreman. Everything is fine. So I'm sorry if I sounded a bit weird earlier in the week, especially when you were doing your super glue
skin. Oh, yeah. That was insensitive in retrospect.
It was hilarious. It's on the new podcast.
Good to hear.
Wow. Okay, that's more fingers than the bloke at the hospital was holding up. Thank you, Nikki Hamilton. The show returns to normal. Next on Get There. Here at Get around the nation on Triple M. What were you saying? Is the worst thing to happen when you're having the plum ultrasound?
Yeah, but when you were saying it was quite a kindly old gentleman that was gelling them up and scanning them. What you don't want is when he's just finished the gel for a man to walk in and say, hello, I'm your doctor, I'll be looking after you the moment, and then find the old gentleman just legging it out the door.
This isn't gel. This is a Yoo-Hoo glue stick.
Just leaping out the window, pulling a parachute.
Bad luck, Martin!
Next time. Okay. I think it's time for another subject. What about sports?
Sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where's your theme music?
Oh.
Here it is. Well, in rugby, Lottie Dettieri wants to be the world's best rugby winger.
For this show.
That is
sports news.
What about struck match in there?
Music news, I see in the new
music
weekly.
News. What's happened?
The insiders have attended Britney Spears. 14-minute comeback sham. Did you see any of that on the news? After paying up to $600 to see Britney's first shows in 3 years, those who turned out last week were sorely disappointed by her 14-minute set, which she mimed to five songs. Disappointed? That sounds great. 14 minutes?
14 minutes long.
Yeah, we're hoping it'll be 12.
Yeah.
Sadly, she blew it out to 14. Lip-syncing her way through the brief concert in a pink bikini top, miniskirt, white boots and long brown wig, which stayed in place, blah, blah, blah. See, what she's done is she's dressed herself and done her own choreography.
Good, isn't it?
Looks a bit School of Thetford, if you have a look.
Oh, it is a bit... yeah, it is a bit rock around the clock. Egyptian pharaoh style.
Very cool. And miming away.
That's what she does.
And she's got the old... I can't say what those boots were called, but people who were alive in the 80s will remember what they were called. White fringe boots.
Mm-hmm.
My dog has what we call the Come Pat Me boots. slightly fringed around the ankles. Very nice. I'll say that. Britney's second concert the next night was almost a carbon copy of the previous night's sham, except the star chewed gum throughout and shocked fans by pretending to snort cocaine while miming lines from her hit Toxic. Send her to pretend rehab. That's obviously where she needs to go. But would you be disappointed by a 14-minute Britney Spears jam?
No. I'd be ecstatic. Better than the 10-minute Peter Andre extravaganza I went to.
What was that?
No, it was just him playing his abs with a 50-cent piece. It's quite incredible.
Because where did he go? Like, give me a little sign. Mysterious Girl. Yeah. She re-released twice.
He did.
Well.
Yeah. And then Bucky Junkie. To close with. But I like your idea that on the app.
Just washboard. Yeah.
Just a bit of window. I'm cleaning windows. All right.
I'd like to see Brittany in concert, though.
She's hot.
Really?
Yeah. She's the hottest, trashy mom you know.
Yeah. I love it. The worse she gets, the more I like her. The day she, like, shaved her head and she was lying in the gutter, like, hanging out everywhere with Starbucks and kids hanging out for one end, I was like, yeah, here we go. Now we're getting somewhere.
Mr. Martin, I believe you've got some show business news.
Well, speaking of rehab, someone who could indeed find himself there, or maybe is on his way, is a guy called Chris Albrecht, who is the chairman, or the former chairman and chief executive of HBO.
Right, yes.
Two of those fantastic shows.
We love HBO.
We do.
He's had a bit of a drinking problem, a couple of altercations with girlfriends in parking lots of hotels and what have you. Mm-hmm. He's now checked himself into Alcoholics Anonymous. And apparently he couldn't get over the shrimp incident with Larry David. That's what the whole trigger was.
Okay.
Matter of fact, Curb Your Enthusiasm fans would know. But it was a heavy night out because apparently what he had in his mind was a night of drinking, a night of... And even if you continue drinking, you could find yourself. That was very poor.
Mystifying to people who aren't fans of HBO shows.
But I couldn't, you know, the Deadwood thing, I couldn't crowbar in.
Surely you were going to say that an NBC executive also was arrested, but didn't use language as foul with the bloke from it. Surely there's something in that.
Absolutely.
Didn't do anything with the...
Too clever.
Richard, that was...
Poor.
Amazing.
Oh.
It was amazing, and I just hope that applause was loud enough to cover what came out of its mouth.
Donkey courtroom.
Donkey courtroom.
The South African break-in in that one.
Yeah.
The box set.
Yeah, that'd be good. We have had so many requests for Donkey Courtroom. No. We're going to have to put it on the podcast.
No, we have.
No more Donkey Courtroom.
We seriously are getting people wanting it on the podcast, but the whole... Super Glue Bandit sketches on the latest. I couldn't have both in one. You know, they'd cancel each other
Richard's
out.
Acting is so good in that. Like a lowly peasant from Cape Town.
If you were mystified by that HBO spot.
Yeah. Was that too naughty for me?
No, go and... Naughty for me. There we are. Go and rent the show. Get the Sopranos out. Or 6 Feet Under. Or Oz.
Can we have a quick lookalike?
It's Eric.
Nikki. Here we go. Phil's emailed in and he said that... I have a new lookalike for Ed, Zach from Desperate Housewives.
See, that's the show people have heard of.
Hang on, Nikki, who is Zach and what does he look like?
We don't know.
He is Paul's son. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit crazy. He's half your height and has hair down to his shoulders.
And what's crazy looking like? And a crazy, how do you describe his face?
He's a 16-year-old.
Exactly. So, Phil, I have a lookalike for our friend Phil. Think of a cross between Mercedes Corby and Danny DeVito. And you're close to Phil.
I can't picture. What would that look like?
Big teeth, no hair, 3'6".
Yeah, you're done. Mickey Rooney and Tiffany.
There we go.
It's going to be a Galen-style fight in the car park. Yes, that's very good.
Okay. There we go.
Let's clean up the
lookalike. Katie Lang, I'll accept. Zach from Desperate Housewives.
You do
do
it.
You should do it, Katie Lang.
Yeah.
But when I put my head down at the...
What are you doing?
Do
constant caving.
All right. I don't know how it goes.
Constant craving.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You're using up all the goodwill you got from that HBO thing. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'll get this. And you dance here. Get this.
The Beavers game. You know what we'll play next?
Yeah.
Triple M, right? Yeah. You know who the big loser in that is?
No.
The men without hats.
Oh, no. The safety dance.
That has been off the playlist for too long.
And then they're followed.
Ding, 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 ding.
I think that I'm in Scotland and I'm walking through a forest in the rain. That was the name of their single.
Cut Through.
Scott Cutthroat, who's been making a dick of themselves lately? Well,
David Hasselhoff, what was that footage? Dane Kennedy was telling us about that. It's just him, drunken, shirtless, which is hard enough, sitting on the ground, sort of eating a hamburger and stuffing it, and it's for a good 3.5 minutes. About a quarter of a pound of beef is hanging off his lip.
This is shot by his own daughter.
Shot by his daughter.
Under instructions from him.
Yes. And then he's all drunk. He's just saying, why you stop drinking? He's like, meh, meh. And apparently he's going to get sacked from the producers if he's drunk one more day.
Is he in the producers?
He's in the producers in Vegas.
He's doing the main character.
He is. Bialystok. And guess who's doing it on Broadway in New York at the moment?
I've heard Tony Danza.
Tony Danza. Really? But it's no escape.
That's an exhausting role. How does Hasselhoff, clean the beef off his face and stagger down to the theatre? What about that bit where, Nathan Lane has to do the whole play in like 3 minutes?
I think it takes about 2.5 hours when Hasselhoff does that bit. And now I go in and blah.
Someone is constantly dropping clang is the Premier of Victoria, Steve Brax.
Obama.
We got it there?
Yeah, he's in New York at the moment.
We have a particular and unique terrorism capacity in Victoria. I discussed the response after 7-Eleven here.
7-Eleven? Yeah. It's an old Borat line, I think.
He's
using Borat's material.
Braxy.
Not doing us proud of. There is he? Remember 7-Eleven? Nightmare.
So bright. Yeah. Chocolate bars are so expensive. Milk, $3 a litre.
Things got bad a couple of days later, but it was 7-Eleven that I remember.
I think we'll never say anything we'll ever recover. Providing sandwiches made up of beef salad.
I've got here canine inheritance on my sheet. What the hell is that about?
Tony, the big story.
Yes.
Part of $2 million estate's dog. There's a $2 million estate that's been left.
To a dog.
Well, he's part of the estate.
Right.
And so the dog apparently has, in charge of some of the property and all this stuff.
He's the executor.
And people are fighting over him. The lawyer for the dog has said that he was impressed with the initial offer, but his client was holding out for more money, a slice of the property, and half a sandwich he saw in the bin last week. Boing. I'll give myself a boing.
Yeah, no, you're rich, still sitting on your HBO models,
laughing it up.
People calling up saying, what were those shows? Entourage was one of them.
Entourage. Great show.
Was The Wire in there?
Yeah,
I didn't do The Wire.
That's great. You know what's great about The Wire? Every series, a different band does the theme song. Has that ever been done before?
No.
The Cosby Show had a few sort of Bobby McFerrin.
It sounded very Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah. McFerrin.
Good shows, though. Go and rent them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy them. You can rent them.
Actually, download them.
Here's something. I'm not being paid to say this. The Wire at JB Hi-Fi is only about $24.95 for a whole series.
Because that's a whole weekend.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Series 1 and 2. Get in there and have a look. What about this? An energy drink called cocaine has been pulled from U.S. shops nationwide amid concerns about its name.
What do you mean?
Someone
mistake it for Coca-Cola?
Redux Beverages of Las Vegas selling an energy drink called cocaine. They point out, however, cocaine contains no actual cocaine.
Do the makers of heroin fruit juice think it tastes their product?
Yes, the popular vitamin supplement pseudoephedrine has been pulled off the shelves. Cocaine contains no cocaine. That's stolen that from Ribena.
Yeah.
That contains no Ribena, apparently. Something like that going in, just asking for some cocaine at the... Maybe they could call corn chips hookers. Buy some cocaine and hookers, please.
Certainly, sir.
Then I'll have some crystal meth and child pornography. That's burger rings and low-fat milk. Is that all the big news?
Yeah, it's all the news for crystal meth fans.
Paris Hilton is demanding a pardon. Mm-hmm. Why should she be the only one?
I don't know.
If she can have one, I reckon everyone can have a pardon.
Right.
We'll be distributing the meth.
I don't think they'll necessarily be out there dancing in the street.
It's around the nation on Triple M.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Budget is finished.
Yeah, that was a good McGorry.
It was. Cecilia has been phoning around the JB Hi-Fi. Series 1 of The Wire is only $24.95.
I mean, but it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
Like, it's
13 hours for $24.95. That's pretty good value.
But 13 hours, for normal people, is quite a lot.
You could watch that over a couple of nights. You're not doing one.
Imagine how much child rearing you could get done in 13 hours.
Yeah.
It's all about families.
Or how much you could build, how many sheds you could build for this lovely country.
Yeah.
Or how many walks you could take for breast cancer and whatnot.
Yeah.
You're
going to do something for charity. You're finally going to do something.
Yes, I'm going to do this program.
Okay. Yeah. Good on you. What about
my bit?
So people who email in, we get great emails.
We do get very good emails.
Jonathan Prince, he won't say where he works, but there's 45 people. They've all been listening to Triple M since 1990 in the workplace.
Rebel Sports Warehouse.
And get this, has not forced them to change over to another station. Isn't it great when you hear that?
I mean,
well, sometimes we're quite opinionated, and I've heard in workplaces sometimes.
Oh, in the male flatmate's workplace, she said that it was our program that got them to switch over.
Really?
What were we doing wrong? Well, she works in a lab, and our kind of, you know, graphic descriptions of plum handling wasn't going over too well in the food lab.
It's a short bus talk.
Yeah.
So. But no, wherever Jonathan Prince works, they're into the show, so good on you guys.
You're only Prince.
Worried that we were going to make fun of this email. We certainly wouldn't do that. Thank you for sending it. People who want to hear that interview with my dog.
Oh, yes.
My dog.
Yeah.
It's in the Cowcast, which is the latest podcast, 81, the new Get This podcast. It was the episode you weren't here
for. Yeah, I know.
Cal Wilson filled in.
Mm. How'd she do?
Did all right.
She's great.
Talked about cats, ate a lot of food, shuffled a lot of papers.
Yeah.
Is it up there on iTunes? But are all the others up there? We put the Cowcast up this morning, and the other 80 podcasts disappeared.
Fair enough.
A little bit of a problem. Hopefully they'll all be up by the end of the day, but certainly the Cowcast is up. Let's have some music. Let's get to it quickly. I want to hear something that's a combination of sort of Neil Young guitar with a slight hint of the Church's Unguarded Moment. What have you got for us? And Running Dream Days at the Hotel Existence is the new
album.
Yeah, June 2nd. That's coming out. It's Triple M.
Mm-hmm.
We like to have things go all new occasionally here at Triple M.
Oh, yeah?
Let's have the all new Talkback Mountain. Thank you, Mike Dix. We are the laughing ghost. We're up the mountain, and it's almost time for pardoning. Let's do some pardoning today. Paris Hilton is backing an online campaign for California Governor A. Schwarzenegger to pardon her over a 45-day prison sentence. Listen to this. The Hilton Hotels chain, Heiress. This is what the pardon says, right? The proposed pardon. Paris Hilton provides hope for young people all over the U.S. and the world. She provides beauty and excitement to our otherwise mundane lives, the petition reads. We, the American public who support Paris, are shocked, dismayed, and appalled by how Paris has been the person to be used as an example that drink driving is wrong. She's written it herself.
Yes. You can tell it's authentic.
So this is all about just her being an example that it's wrong. It wasn't the fact that she was driving up the street with the lights off drunk in the middle of the night.
That's okay. And if she crashed into me, I would have thought my mundane life has now been lit up with beauty and traction.
She's
car-wheeled in the face.
Inspiration everywhere. She encourages thousands of young women to cultivate a totally unjustified air of haughty disinterest and obnoxious pig ignorance across the world. She's an inspiration.
Say that again. What? Say that description again.
A totally unjustified haughty disinterest and obnoxious pig ignorance. What's wrong with that?
You got it right. I've been trying to work out the looks on the faces of the kids in the street, and you've got it.
Global warming, I don't care about that. What's my new ringtone?
Wow. Well done, Fess.
She's an inspiration to us all. But, you know, we're saying fair enough. Okay, if she's going to have a pardon, why can't we all have one?
We'll get a pardon.
Surely we've got things we need to be pardoned for. And what are we going to hear when we distribute the pardon?
I'm free.
Mr. Inman, now that leads me to tell people what happens off air when we get to work. We don't have meetings as such.
No, all the meetings take place on air to the constant frustration of our producer, Nikki.
But this morning we did spend some time trying to find that I'm free, that little grab. Mm. And so then that was about 45 minutes. Another 45 minutes spent trying to get the MySex grab. And when I found some music listeners, I found the I'm free grab, it had one boomp in the background, and you should have heard the chorus from Marsland and Martin. I know it. No, it's got a boomp in the background. Back to the drawing board, son. I had to watch like a 45-minute Dutch TV interview with John Inman just to find him saying without a boomp in the background.
It was great, though. He was describing how he mastered the walk.
Yeah, well, that's up to something. Yeah,
going up the Khyber with the answer, apparently. That's what he says.
That's what he says.
As soon as he's whacked a five... penny bit,
yep.
Up the clacker,
all of a sudden,
the character just came to life.
Freeze.
Or at least pardon him.
I'm free!
I watched him for 45 minutes before he said, I'm free.
No, because he was going on and on about it.
What do we need to be part of? Okay, we need serious kind of stuff. Okay, here's something. We're known at our sister station, which is in the same building.
Mm.
Us on the show, apparently we've got the new nickname of the Comedy Nazis.
Yeah.
And this is because on air one day, we were pointing out that if you're at work and the phone rings and you pick it up and it's somebody with a comedy Indian voice going, oh, yeah, I'm freezing the running, it's probably going to be a gotcha call.
Yeah.
So now we're the Comedy Nazis.
Yes.
We're the racists now, apparently.
I am.
Anyway, I think, okay, well... if I'm a comedy Nazi, it's time for a bit of a Nuremberg. I once, on national television, blacked up and did the comedy Indian voice myself.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. For what? For a Degeneration comedy sketch. And it was like, the idea of the sketch was that I was an Indian waiter who was forcing the people at the table to pronounce the words that he knew they weren't going to be able to pronounce. And then there was just a chorus of laughter in the kitchen.
Couldn't get an Indian actor?
So it wasn't like an anti-Hindu sketch.
Couldn't get an Indian actor?
Apparently not. It was the 80s. It was an earlier time.
It hadn't been invented yet.
The footage is absolutely disgraceful. I mean, it's amazing it hasn't been put onto YouTube yet.
Get it on, people out there. Get it on the tube.
I'm free.
Sellers did that as well.
Yeah, but Sellers was very good at it.
Yeah.
Like, Satyajit Ray, the greatest Indian film director of all time, wanted to cast Peter Sellers in... and this is quite amazing, an early version of E.T.
Mm.
E.T. was written in the 1960s, and it was about a Hindu bloke. Satyajit Ray was going to make it, and it was going to star Peter Sellers. And then Ray went to the set of the party, because he'd been impressed by Sellers' accent in The Millionaire. But he went to the set of the party and reckoned he'd lost it.
Yeah, sure.
Called the whole thing off. Project went into turnaround, development for like 15 years. Melissa Matheson got the script, rewrote it, came out of Spielberg's E.T. So when you're watching that lovable little alien in the front of that bike that was originally meant to be Peter Sellers in a turban, I swear to you, that's
very different film.
Have we lost everybody
for
that trivia?
I love that.
Doesn't distract from my own nascent racism back in the 1980s. There it was. But I've been pardoned by John Inman.
That's fine. Marvin? I reckon they should pardon the cassette.
I'm free!
Monty Video on the cassette.
Sure, did he want to come a wing gang?
Yep. But the cassettes, because they're actually, they're deleting them from sales.
Oh, right.
Currys in the United Kingdom has announced that it stopped stocking cassettes.
Mm.
Only 100,000 were sold in the UK last year, 83 million in 1989. So they're getting rid of them. They're moving them out the exit.
Yeah,
right. So now is the time to buy up on your cassettes and also your cassette recorders.
Okay, why?
Well, because you can't buy them anymore. They're gonna, once they phase out the cassettes, they're going to start phasing out the tape recorders as well.
Oh, he did that. And, I mean, Richard was the guy that said to buy up big on Betamax video players, and he is making a packet off those.
You've got to get
those are in demand again, Rich.
So you are absolutely right. The waters are rising. You've got to get your cassettes up to Basecamp too.
That's right.
Everything has to go over to disc now.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay, so we pardon the humble cassette, Mr. Cavalry. On your resume.
Well, hopefully no one who lives at my house is listening at the moment, because apparently I get hungry late at night, and I have to eat porridge before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Now, but porridge by itself isn't very delicious, so I have to have some honey and perhaps some Special K and some banana in there as well.
Yeah.
And I must have been stealing from my flatmates so much that now one of my flatmates keeps all of her bananas and her honey in her room where I can't get at it.
Is that right? She's sleeping with honey.
Yeah. And I only know because I walked past her room the other day and thought, geez, it smells good in there. Poked my head in and it's the delicious booty that was in there. Well, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm an addict. I'm a Stilnoff style addict. I know not what I do.
I'm free.
thank you. You're free. Listen, Doesn't it feel good? A chance to get something out of your system. Maybe you've worn a turban on national television. Maybe you've forced someone to sleep with their bananas. Maybe you're an out-of-date product that nobody likes anymore. Okay. Give us a call and get let off the hook. 1-333-53. Cal Barkman, she's so high. We'll pardon him. We're pardoning everybody tonight. Yeah, I get this. Yeah, but not Turner.
No.
An overdrive.
Less said the better.
Hello there, Andrew.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Well, we're excellent. What do you want to be pardoned for, dude?
Well, first of all, congratulations. You guys are as funny as a fart on a first date.
Thank you.
There you go.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, it's classic.
Yeah. Right, excellent. Yes.
I'd be laughing.
Katie Lang, big fan of your work.
Thank you very much. Constant craving.
I wanted to just get a pardon for the good old-fashioned perving on the neighbour when she gets changed.
Oh, my God.
I'm free.
Not so far.
You know, is how did you spot her? Like, what's the is it sitting on the roof?
Walked into my bedroom. She had the blinds open. How you going?
Bang. Okay. So it was an invitation. It wasn't something that we don't need to contact the police.
I speak out. No, it was there, and I didn't want to be rude and say no.
You know what, Andrew? You're a gentleman.
Gentleman. I didn't want to be rude.
You're a gentleman. I like that about
you. All right, Mr. Humphreys has spoken.
Thank you, Andrew.
I wonder what Andrew's up to on the first date.
No.
Glenn.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Just wondering if you could pardon me for two things.
Go.
Last night I watched Big Brother.
I'm free.
Secondly?
Well, since it's Mother's Day this weekend, I haven't actually told my mum I love her in about 8 years.
Oh.
So, yeah, pretty bad of me. So,
I'm free.
I'm sure the reason I don't love you, mum, is, well, sorry.
Well, there you go.
I'm sure a Human Nature album will make up for it.
Where would Mother's Day be without Human Nature?
Sounds of Motown.
All right, that's a double pardon. Who else needs one?
Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. What did you do?
I stole my neighbour's garden gnome. And
I'm free.
I wanted to get back at them because he spends all his money on unnecessary items, and then when he runs out of money, he goes around the streets botting things, and so I just thought the gnome doesn't deserve to live there.
You know what? You're an environmentalist. So what does he do? He runs out of money, then goes what? Like cap in hand around the neighbourhood?
Yeah, and makes up stories why he needs money, or he goes down the street and begs, and or he borrows things, and, you know, when people get sick of him, he finds a new house to make up a new story for. So I just thought the gnome has to go.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll go and bot the gnome.
Yeah, and I'm hoping the gnome's really, really happy, but half of me feels a little bit guilty because it was a full moon at the time and I was a bit, you know, crazy, but I just had to do it.
Linda, you do what you have to.
Yeah.
Where is the gnome now?
Oh, I found a new house in a new suburb in a really nice garden, so I popped him in the garden next to the letterbox for the new owner to find in the morning at about 6 in the morning.
Lovely.
Yeah.
You're a modern-day Robin Hood. You do? I like that about you.
Thank you.
There's a gnome appearing in our front yard.
Yes. What are we going to do? Taking acid to start.
So I'd just like to be pardoned for the stealing.
I'm free.
Hi, Carol.
How are you going?
Good, mate. What happened?
I got married with a mullet hairdo.
I don't know if we can do this one.
My kids still throw darts at the photos.
Well, fair enough. And how big, how tall was it on top and how long was it down the back?
It was pretty boofy up top.
Really?
And a pound or 2 kilo of gel. Oh. And it went down a long way down my back.
Yeah, right.
Jason Dunstall on speed.
Oh, wow. It's beyond Swayze.
Yeah.
Okay, what era are we talking?
Oh, the 80s, when it was fashionable.
Oh,
I'm free.
You're okay, Daryl.
Oh, I need to be pardoned.
Are you still rocking it now? Are you still rocking the mullet now, Daryl?
No. Believe me.
You've gone for a full buffont now, have you, or a beehive?
No. It's just a normal, everyday, blending hairdo.
Sweet cut shaved in the back. Sweet action. thank you very much.
All right, I think we've got one more part.
No, we don't.
We don't?
No, everyone's gone.
Our powers have been withdrawn.
Yeah, no, we did well, though.
All right, well, hopefully Paris Hilton will be, you know,
hope she does the time.
Yeah.
I really hope she does the
it'll
time.
It'll be bad for her, but it'll be good.
They're sharpening their shivs as we speak.
Yeah.
Get ready. mirrors just getting... They should just give her one of those little dentist mirrors on the end of a spike. You know, the tiny little... Okay. Hey, do you want to talk about crime?
Yeah.
By someone who knows about crime. He writes about crime. He writes a damn fine read. There's Shane Maloney. Just heard a big bang. And a lot of swearing. What kind of dumb book writing questions do you want us to cross off the list so that we don't soil the hour?
Do you write with a pencil? Where do you get your ideas?
Where do you get your ideas from? People constantly, I mean, every sort of creative person is asked where do they get their ideas from, as though the answer is going to be some shop somewhere.
Yeah,
but you can go to.
Ideas are up.
Nah, shop. Hey, we love to fish out really bad plot cliches and, you know, see how they float.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that in this hour, Shane?
Yeah, look, I need all the cliches I can lay my hands on. That's where I get my ideas.
Oh, well, from our listeners.
No problem.
We'll see what they're full of today on Get This. To be honest, you know his work. It's Get This around the nation on Triple M. It's the second hour, like we mentioned. Shane Maloney is with us. I've had people raving to me about the Murray Whelan thrillers. The sixth one is out, so I finally had a crack at it. Sucked in. It's a top read. How do you do it? How do you get so much comedy into a thriller?
I set them in the Australian Labor Party.
That's his secret. Hysterical. Yeah. I mean,
that's the key to my success. Yeah.
I don't know if all the books have been like this, but you know, you don't even really need the thriller element once you start getting into that world. There's so much.
Well, yeah, it's dark. It's a dark and ugly place, and I take the reader by the hand. Lead them in and lead them safely out again.
There are just so many phrases that have stuck in my head. Like, can I just read out a couple of sentences that you've written in this book? I love this one. By long-established custom, the ALP is loath to pass up any opportunity to erupt into a full-fledged public brawl, particularly when a safe seat is at stake. Mm-hmm. There's so much... it feels like first-hand observation.
Well, yes, I've had my eye on it. I've been reading Michelle Grattan's columns in The Age for about 300 years and feel like I'm like everyone else. The spectator sport, Australian politics, I think, because we have to go along. Everybody's compulsory voting, so that's like you have to have a club. You know, it's like the football. You're joined up at birth and you've got no choice but to go along with it.
This is Murray Wheel, the book's written... in the voice of Murray Whelan, who's what is he ascended to in this novel?
He's a member of the Victorian Upper House.
Listen to this. This is Murray speaking. Most of our front bench were yesterday's heroes, so busy undermining each other, they'd lost sight of any other reason for existence. Circling each other like burnt-out suns, they were kept in place only by the centrifugal force of their mutual loathing.
I mean, how do you work in radio?
Right. That's pretty good.
Yeah, look, well, to be fair on the Labor Party, that might also be true of other political parties.
Another politician is described as being buoyed by inexhaustible reserves of self-regard. I mean, we don't even need to get to the murders. It just seems to me this is where the gold is.
Yeah, they're asking for it, aren't they?
Now, you know, I haven't read a lot of crime novels, but I'm always expecting it'll be a hard-boiled private detective. But... it's not really the case.
Yeah, I don't do the hard-boiled private detective. It used to be that the, you know, there were these stories always centred around. There was, you know, an alcoholic, melancholic, middle-aged dick, you know, yeah. He had soup stains on his tie and he had, you know, problems with his boss and he'd seen everything he could see at the bottom of the bucket. And somewhere under that crusty exterior there beat a heart of gold. I love those characters, you know. And then he was taken over. He was replaced by the female forensic pathologist. You know, computer profiling serial killers using cutting-edge technology. And she wore a Chanel suit, BMW and stock options. But really, it's the same guy in drag.
He's had the operation.
Send it down to the lab. Send it down to the lab.
But is it hard to crowbar crime into the life of a character who's, well, essentially an MP?
Well, he's sort of ordinary bloke, really, in lots of ways, and so he just gets suckered into things. I started off writing these books by wondering, you know, what it would be like if you figured out somebody was trying to kill you and you had no idea why.
Right, right.
And that's really how the series starts, and, you know, that's a few books back. It just takes off from there. You put an ordinary bloke under some sort of stress where his loyalty hooks him into things and he feels like only he can solve the problem, and every step he makes, it gets worse. Well, you know, that's the premise of them.
Well, it's got the word thriller on the front. Well, it just really surprised me at how many big laughs there were in this book, and you've done something that was very hard to do for a writer, I would imagine, and that's write a funny sex scene.
Hey.
Where do you start there?
Well, I have to do a lot of research. And after that, well, look, it's like the comedy, crime, drama, you know, tragedy thing. You know, Tony, you can die in comedy.
Oh, yeah, certainly. That's right. You can have a glass at you in the head in an unexpected moment.
That's right. You know, you can just, you're killed just as dead in the comedy as you are in the tragedy.
And what sort of audience do you have a test audience you try stuff out of?
No, I don't test market things. I occasionally read chapters out loud in trams to see if there's any response.
If it's getting anything.
usually gets me $150 fine.
Oh, man. It's something I love to hear about from writers is how much hits the floor. I mean, how much do you write that just ends up going through the shredder?
Oh, look, it's an ugly business, the whole thing, really, because these books are written in the voice of Murray Whelan. So I have to get the story out of this bloke. And he's he's a politician. He can be pretty reticent. It can be very difficult to get there. I've got a small replica of Guantanamo Bay in my backyard, and I keep the fictional characters in there, working them over with rubber hoses and wet phone books until they cough up the details. The screams can be heard at night by the neighbours.
Well, Sucked In is in the shops now. I want to talk about those Murray Whelan telly movies. They were great,
weren't they?
But what happened to them? They were taken out of the back and had a bullet put to the... They were taken by the screens.
They were.
Let's find out what happened to them next. I'm getting this. Great light here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Shane Maloney is with us. The new Murray Whelan thriller Sucked In is in the shops now. I'm sorry to just keep reading sentences out at you, your own work, Shane, but this is the last one I'll do. How about this for a sentence? Listen to this. This is referring to Melbourne, but I'm sure people around the country will identify with it. With their usual eye through the potential revenue, Yarra Council had jacked up the parking meter fees and erected time limit signs of such baffling complexity that a team of Philadelphia lawyers armed with atomic clocks would have been hard-pressed to escape a ticket. I'm sure people know what that's about.
Yes, the big bitterness on my part there.
Now, we were talking about the Murray Whelan movies. Now, I loved them with David Wenham, and you had John Clarke at the helm, and you had Sam Neill involved. Why didn't they continue?
Yes, well, it's a bit of a puzzler, really.
Well, normally when this happens, the answer is, oh, they didn't rate. But I got out the ratings, because my wife worked on these films as the first AD. And at the end of the year, the newspaper printed the 100 most watched shows of the year in Australia.
98
football. And then, no. Stiff, the first Murray Whelan movie, was in at number 51.
Not bad.
Like, out of everything on television that year, it was the second most watched telly movie of the year.
Yeah, pretty good.
And then, to me, what I would have done, if I'd been programming, is put the second one on, like, maybe the next week or maybe 2 weeks later. But they sat on it for months. What was that about?
They did. Well, they ran it after the Olympic Games so that everybody had seen the promo for 3 months.
Right.
I think it just ended up being television poison, really. You've got the most popular star in Australian television. You've got John Clarke writing the script. directing, Sam Neill directing, you know. You win the ratings. It's just death in television, that sort of thing.
I don't know if this was the reason, but if I had to guess, normally when you see detectives or people involved in crime stories on Australian TV, it doesn't matter what they do, they live in a New York-style warehouse apartment. Remember that Jane Halifax, the coroner? It was a spectacular apartment she lived in. And Clarkie did this great thing, which was filming the Murray Whelan stories in the actual world in which they were set. You saw the streets of Coburg, Sydney Road, Brunswick. You saw lots of real-looking shops. It felt great, but it wasn't the sort of slick, you know, there weren't enough tits, basically. Would that be fair to say?
The main streets of Thornbury.
You don't see that on the telly, mate.
No, I think that's what, well, I enjoyed seeing all of that. It was just a great experience to see the characters that you've invented and they pop up. And of course, Murray Whelan being played by Sam Neill was fantastic. David Wenham, I mean. David Wenham was just really terrific in the role. But also, because the books are written in this first-person voice, you know, some people mistake me for the character, you know.
Right.
So they say, oh, you know, you're Murray Whelan, aren't you? And when David Wenham playing that role, you know, I thought, you know, this is fantastic because people, and by people I mean women, are going to mistake me for David Wenham.
Oh, that's a plus.
But
people have been coming up to you, congratulating you on 300.
You look so muscly, you know.
Wow, man.
That's right. Now, they keep asking me what it's like working with Nicole.
Die for shame. But writing. Now, Mr. Marsden, you're full of writing questions. What were you asking Shane on there?
I was just asking Shane whether or not he wrote to music, like listening to music. Because a lot of writers I know prefer silence, or they'll listen to the same album over and over again because they feel that repetition aids concentration.
Yeah, I had a string quartet come round when I was working.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sit in the corner of the room, soaring away.
It's just making requests.
Yeah.
Do you know the final countdown by Europe?
Actually, not a bad idea. Get a busker in.
Get a busker in.
Lay down a lobster.
Well, that is
what? $20.
Oh, right.
Lobster. You're paying people in crayfish.
It's amazing. Rich. At some point, we should probably mention what happens in social.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell us quickly, Shane, what the structured story is?
Oh, well, the story opens with a dry lake.
So
it's a somewhat contemporary setting. And the discovery of human remains in the bottom of this dried up lake, which turned out to be connected with some business that happened in a union about 20 years back when our hero was just starting off his political career. And the people involved have gone on to become among the great and good in the land. There's a senator and there's the pro vice chancellor of the University of Maribyrnong. It looks like this whole thing might, well, you know, get out of its box and start causing a few problems. So our hero steps in to try and figure out what happened. And, of course, things just get more and more out of control and complicated from there.
And if people are, you know, harbouring cynical views about what goes on behind the scenes in political parties and union organisations, they'll have their feelings confirmed.
Mm. Yeah, I'm in the business of confirming people's worst suspicions.
But what about plot cliches?
Yeah.
We love them on this show. There's so many of them out there.
Yep.
Let's see if we can dredge a few up from the bottom of a lake.
Right.
And chuck them at Shane. We'll do that next.
Well, the shock has been coming up gradually. I thought it was about time I started complaining to someone about this.
This Around the Nation on Triple M, author Shane Maloney is with us. That means that a new Murray Whelan book is in the shop, Sucked In, it is called. Good news in the paper today. I'm sure you've heard about this, Shane. Rupert Murdoch has gone green. Stop laughing. Stop laughing. It's true. After denying the existence of global warming for 10 years, suddenly he's,
But has he now got little pointy ears as well and can do the Vulcan fine well? Oh, you mean he's gone environmental? I thought you mean he actually turned green.
I know, it's so unbelievable. The News Corporation will slash its global carbon footprint apparently 90% of their carbon emissions are produced by Piers Ackerman.
So yeah, fair enough.
Assuming that's the problem. He's gone green, but as usual, somebody has combed Ovaltine through his hair. You have a look at Rupert Murdoch, who did have grey hair a couple of years ago.
He's Senator Ovaltine.
He is.
Oh, Piers doesn't have a carbon footprint, though, does he? He has the carbon knuckle prints.
He's certainly dragging along the ground behind him.
Well, he's going in hard against Jonestown. Chris Masters, absolutely brilliant book about Alan Jones. He thinks it shouldn't be nominated for any prizes because it contains spelling errors.
Yep. Fair enough.
The spelling errors all about. I found a spelling error typo in the Penguin edition of Catcher in the Rye. Did you? So that should be first. Put it on a bonfire.
Oh, no wonder that bloke only ever wrote one book.
You're onto him, Shane. I'm stopping there. Now, Shane, when you're writing a crime book, what are the cliches you have to avoid?
Oh, well, you have to avoid the... suddenly with a bound he was free. I don't think you're allowed to do that one anymore. Very tempting to do that. You have to avoid the, of course, the twin sister sapphic love connection. That's the under death, I think.
We'll be back.
Yeah. Oh, look, there are so many now. Russian orphans with big eyes.
Just having a book without Russian orphans alone.
We're looking for your favourite plot cliches today. Listen, they don't just have to be from books. They can be from movies and TV.
What about the one in your crime television shows where there's always somebody wandering in? Somebody, a detective's always doing some work on the side and they get hauled into the boss's office and it's all that sort of like, you know what I mean? Like, you do what I tell you to do. And it's like, you know what? I came here to learn the truth. You can't tell me what cases to look after and what not to look after. And, of course, it turns out the detective is right. And then there's always the scene at the end where the boss is like, get good work today. You have a something like that again, I'm busting your ass down to something or other.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Oh, you mean like in like a courtroom one where somebody's in the wrong and the judge bangs the gavel and the audience keeps cheering and then the judge just goes, oh, bugger it, just throws the gavel away. I can't fight City Hall on this one.
And then Rodney Dangerfield comes in and they do the twist.
I mention it every time, but what is with these two loose wires under the steering column of your car? And you're driving off.
There you go.
The manufacturers have got rid of them by now.
And which wire will I cut, the green one or the red one? The green one or the red one?
It always comes down to in the cop television shows now. It's just the same, plot over and over and over again, where there's no way they're going to solve it. Then somebody looks in the corner of the screen and sees a hair fiber that they think they recognise from somebody that they met for 2 seconds at the start of the episode, go around to their house, and then with just like, hello, how are you? They're like, all right, you got me. Oh, I can't understand. I can't withstand this cross-examination. Yes, it was me.
Mr. Marsland, any that you've noticed?
Well, in Home and Away and Neighbours, whenever there's a scene in a car, that car's going to crash.
That is going to happen, right?
Yeah. Well, pretty much. I mean,
unless you're getting out of the car. If you're getting out of the car at the start of the scene, you'll be right. If you're getting in, see ya.
Yeah, the car's in motion and there's a conversation going on that seems to be lighthearted.
You're dead.
The car will eventually go off a cliff. Also, like TV shows where they have 7 main characters and then for some reason they spend 20 minutes with another character who's only just been introduced, like in a TV show like Lost.
Yes.
And then you just know that person's going to die sometime that episode because they allow the viewers to invest themselves in this new character who seems a little wacky. But it's then blown up by the wet dynamite.
Well, do you know that the Lost says it's only going to got 3 more series to go? 3 more series of Lost to go. And I'm going to give everybody a hint. Don't watch it until the final show of the last series because that's when they'll stop wandering through the effing jungle and find something.
Do you have a show like that, Shane, where you just... You know, you go, just cut to the end, please. You've got no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, that one where they're on the boat, and they crash on it. Not Lost, but the
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island. Yeah, there it was. Now, there's a couple of things you know are going to happen in that. You never actually see it on screen.
Yeah.
You know that Ginger, for example, something's going to happen there between her and
Marianne.
And Thurston Howell III, where did that money come from? He's on the lam.
He's on the lam.
Yeah, he's on the lam. And who sabotaged the boat and why?
Mm. Well, so many unanswered questions. I'd like to think that maybe the Gilligan's Island cast could be reassembled and be integrated into Lost.
That's a good idea.
Wandering around the island.
That's a good idea.
The fat guy.
The trap door falling down on Bob Denver's head.
That'd be fun. Hang on. All right. Globetrotters are here.
Skippy, what's Skippy doing here?
Skippy on a well. What about the listeners? They are full of cliches. They want to throw at us. Let's give them a go. 1-3-3-5-3. Get this from Triple M. Author Shane Maloney is with us. A fine new read in the form of Sucked In is in the shops now. It's not full of plot cliches. I'm very disappointed.
Mm.
Shane, do you want to hear what our listeners have got to throw at you?
Yes, let's give them a book for their trouble.
Let's do it. Every single person who contributes gets a copy of Sucked In, the new Murray Whelan thriller. Let's hear them, Ed.
Hi, Perry.
How you going, Ben?
Oh, good, mate. Talk us through your cliche.
Well, every movie I've ever seen, it's got the Hollywood parking spot.
He's the proponent of that on television in the 70s.
Oh, really?
He just, everywhere he went, parking spot waiting.
Now, Shane's just put on the can so that he can hear the callers, Perry, and he's done.
Yeah.
The now ubiquitous mime of, where's the headphone levels, Richard?
And
there are none.
You'll be receiving your tinnitus on the way out of the studio. Yeah, that's a good one. The holiday the Hollywood Park.
Absolutely right, Perry.
For Perry.
Hey, Leon, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you going?
Good, mate. Talk us through your cliche.
The old one with the police movies or TV shows when there's the usually the large police chief that dies in his last day of retirement.
Yeah, he's gonna retire and just go fishing. Maybe walk the dog.
Yeah.
Bang.
Falling Down with Michael Douglas and Robert Duvall, there's a bit of that.
Yeah.
It's Robert Duvall's last day at work, but then luckily he survives it. That's
right.
Yeah. As soon as the police chief sees his cake being wheeled in.
Yeah.
Start for death. A book for that man. Thank you, Leon. Who's next?
Hey, Travis.
Hey, g'day, mate. How are you?
Mate, excellent. Your cliche?
My cliche is, if someone's being chased in a house, why do they run up the bloody
stairs? When an ex-murderer is coming at me in full frenzy, my immediate reaction is just to, flip my blonde hair back.
Oh, yeah.
Expose a little more of my décolletage.
Oh, yeah.
And go rushing up the nearest stairs.
Thank you, Travis. A copy you've sucked in for you.
Hey, Colin, how are you?
Yes. Hello there. My cliche is cars that explode after going off embankments or hills before they even touch the ground.
Absolutely right.
Have you seen The Simpsons where the big truck, the big tanker full of milk explodes?
That's right. I mean, has a car in real life ever actually exploded? Going off a cliff.
All those road humps, they're popping off all over the place. Muffled explosions all the way across.
We're a copy of Sucked In for that man.
Hey, David.
Hello, guys.
Hey, mate. Your cliche.
It's only a little one, but by Christ, it annoys me. It's whenever anybody gets frisked and they don't find anything, they always say, "He's clean." Yeah, that's the other part of it, too.
Which comes to be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Frisking.
Good. You get a book for you, sir.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hello. Good.
Your
How you guys?
We're great. Your cliche?
This one drives me mad. It's in every second drama. Two people go to bed together and they wake up the next morning, or one person wakes up and they put their arms out behind them, there's no one else in the bed.
That's just real life. The indentation on the pillow.
I had one other quick one.
Yes.
It's always the chase in the big warehouse with lots of stairs and girders to run across.
Sarah, no matter how close you are, if you try and shoot someone in a warehouse, it's going to hit a railing. It's not going to hit them. It's going to ping off a railing right next to them.
Or a pipe with some gas.
Definitely right. And if the police get their torches out, suddenly the whole place is full of dry ice. been sweeping around.
And Duran Duran are launching into the wild, boys. Have we got time for one more cliche?
Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Excellent, mate. You're cliche?
The guy's sitting there and he's typing away, but only using the single row, but he's typing his whole letter, or just, you know, they're ticking away and the keyboard doesn't line up with the screen.
Could it be done? Sometimes I only use one letter.
You're right, James. Because in the show 24, it seems as though every satellite in the world can just be used by using the escape button.
or the magic mouse that they never use. Well, yeah. Some of the older shows, they don't even have the computers plugged in.
Oh, really?
It's caught dangling off the front of the desk.
Hey, when you sign the book, my wife loves the show and she's got the Capel T-shirt, so if you can just wish her a happy wedding anniversary. It's her wedding anniversary this weekend, so you never know your luck, you know.
Well, happy wedding anniversary and, you know, hope James gets some action.
Yeah, man.
Doesn't wake up the next morning, indentation on the pillow.
No sign of the business.
Capel T-shirt. See you later. Thank you, everyone.
Everyone has been sucked in by Shane Maloney today.
Great stuff. They're so good at that stuff.
They certainly are, our listeners. We've not finished with you yet, Shane. Are you a big fan of the work of Peter Costello?
He's coming in.
Oh, he is. Is he? Oh, God. I'm so glad I'm here today.
There's like about five words you can't say on radio flash before your eye.
Well, he won't be stopped. He's coming in with prezzies for everybody next on Get This.
Here and Get This on Triple M. Shane Maloney is still with us, author of Sucked In. That's in the shops now. Shane, what about that budget? Were you riveted to Peter Costello's budget the other night?
I thought I was for a while, and then I realised I was watching the other channel. Is it just me, or are Peter Costello and Bert Newton looking incredibly like each other?
Morphing into each other.
Yeah.
Costello's catchphrase.
See, it was 50 greatest TV one-liners.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I turned it on, and there was a man saying, "Greed is good. Wax on, wax off."
Okay.
I thought,
this is business as usual for the budget.
I thought this is the budget. Yeah.
Well, people often find the budget a bit boring to watch, but I find if you listen into the background of the record, you know, if you tape it and then play it back and listen, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the background. Have a listen to this.
I received a message from His Excellency the Governor General recommending, in accordance with Section 56 of the Constitution, an appropriation for the purposes of Appropriation Bill No. 1, 2007-2008. I call the Treasurer. Mr. Speaker, I present the Appropriation Bill No. 1, 2007-2008.
Clerk, first reading, a bill for an act to appropriate money out of the Consolidated Revenue Fund for the ordinary annual services of the government and for related purposes.
The Honourable the Treasurer. Mr. Speaker, I move that the bill now be read the second time.
First reading, a bill for an act to appropriate money out of the...
Sorry. Mr. Speaker, Australia is different to the way it was 10 years ago. We have another 2 million Australians who have found jobs since then. And average wages have increased 20% in real terms. In the decade before 1996, inflation averaged 5% a year. Tonight I announce, for the fifth year in a row, cuts to income tax. From 1 July this year, the 30% tax rate will only apply to income over $30,000. This means that low-income earners eligible for the offset will not pay tax until their annual income exceeds $11,000. Senior Australians who are eligible for the Senior Australians Tax Offset will now pay no tax on annual income up to $25,867 for singles and $43,360 for couples. Mr. Speaker, one of the great challenges we have is to maintain the beautiful, diverse and precious natural environment which we have in Australia.
one of the serious long-term threats is global warming. Mr. Speaker, forests play a key role in reducing greenhouse gases. So tonight I announce the cost of establishing qualifying carbon sink forests will be tax deductible, with immediate deductibility for 5 years commencing on 1 July and concessional depreciation arrangements after that. Mr. Speaker, water is one of Australia's most precious resources. The government has a $10 billion national plan for water security intended to place rural water use on a sustainable footing, increasing efficiency in irrigation and addressing over-allocation of water. Tonight I announce funding over 6 years to support the installation of water tanks and other water-saving devices by schools and community organisations. We must capture as much of this precious resource as possible. We must use it carefully and we must use it wisely.
After 7-Eleven here.